Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And every once in a while, it's worth asking, isn't it? What made this nation so great? If you ask somebody back in the 19th century, what is the event? What is the development? What is the novelty that allowed the United States of America to emerge as the dominant civilization in the whole world? You'd get an answer from a lot of people that had to do with one remarkable day in the May of 1869. What happened on that day? They finished one of the great construction projects of all time. It was the very, very first time that any nation, that any combination of business and government and individual initiative and vision and determination and just plain good luck or divine providence had led to the span of an entire continent by a rail line. Yeah, they drove the Golden Spike. And that is the subject of this very special broadcast on the Michael Medved Show. It's called Connecting the Continent, the Golden Spike and its Miraculous Moment. And in this special broadcast, I've been telling you a little bit about the effort from the Central Pacific, reaching from Sacramento toward the center of the continent, and then from the Union Pacific going in the other direction. Central Pacific was moving from west to east, the Union Pacific moving out of Omaha from east to west. And one of the things about the Union Pacific that's worth noting is actually they didn't really fully finish the whole Continental Railroad until a couple of years after the connection. Why? Because they had to build a bridge over the Missouri River. Because they had a railroad leading from the East Coast to Council Bluffs, Iowa, which is over the river from Omaha. And then they had the Union Pacific reaching from Omaha on through. In any event, there are three groups of workers, and they were each one representing a group that had been much persecuted and somewhat despised and a little bit out of the American mainstream. The three groups who provided the bulk of the labor were particularly for the Central Pacific. About 75% of the workers were Chinese fishermen and former peasants who came over from China and then worked with incredible intensity to build this railroad and risked their lives and in some cases gave their lives. And then heading from the Union Pacific, heading from Omaha out west, it was predominantly veterans of the Civil War who were Irish-American. And they had fought on both sides, some who were Confederate veterans, some who were Union veterans working together. And then there was that third group, fervent Mormon settlers. And they supplied personnel. They supplied labor to both the Central Pacific going from California east and to the Union Pacific going from Nebraska west. And the amazing thing about it is, look, these three groups were very, very different. For instance, the Chinese, in many cases, didn't even speak much English. And then when it came to the Irish laborers, they participated in those train cars called Hell on Wheels, where there was a certain amount of liquor served and some other things as well. The Mormons, they didn't participate in any of that. Nevertheless, these three very disparate groups managed to collaborate with unexpected ease and efficiency. And in fact, near the end of April in 1869, as they were getting close to connecting, the two lines were getting close to meeting, a reporter came out for the San Francisco Bulletin. And he accompanied Charlie Crocker, who was one of the Central Pacific's big four, the big four investors who dominated that corporation. And he came out to witness the feverishly intensifying work that as the crews from the two railroads approached their long-anticipated rendezvous. In particular, big shots from both sides had placed a $1,000 bet. Actually, some sources say they risked much more, $10,000, some even say a $100,000 bet. But they had placed a bet in any event over which work crews could lay the most miles of tracks in a single day between sunrise and sunset, only taking an hour break for lunch. This was considered to be sport. And the reporter from the San Francisco Bulletin wrote, "The scene is a most animated one. From the first pioneer," that's the people who went ahead in the work crews, "to the last tamper. Perhaps 2 miles, there is a thin line of 1,000 men advancing a mile an hour. The iron cars running up and down. Mounted men galloping backward and forward. Alongside of the moving force are teams hauling tools and water wagons and Chinamen with pails strung over their shoulders, moving among the men with water and tea. An army officer who rode out to see the epic contest between the Union Pacific and the Central Pacific grabbed Charlie Crocker's arm and said, 'I never saw such organization as this. It is just like an army marching across over the ground and leaving a track built behind them.'" The eyewitness testified to their superhuman effort and breathless pace. "When the whistle blew for the noon meal," he wrote, "at 1:30 p.m., the Central Pacific workers had laid 6 miles of track. By 7 p.m., the CP was 10 miles and 56 feet farther east than it had been at dawn. Never before done, never matched. They lay down over 10 miles of track in a single day." It's pretty amazing when you begin to think about it. According to subsequent calculations, that feat meant that the determined, sweating, perfectly collaborating Chinese and Mormon teams from the Central Pacific not only won the wager for their bosses, but managed through their superhuman exertions to lay out and spike a full length of track that's two parallel rails of 15 feet each every 12 seconds during that particular work day. Okay, it's hard enough to imagine laying out the 15 feet worth of track in 12 seconds, but to do it every 12 seconds again and again and again, it's pretty amazing. Less than 2 weeks later, the twin hordes, Central Pacific and Union Pacific, implacably advancing from both east and west, finally collided. Not in conflict, but in celebration. In the last days before the completion of the much-anticipated line, more than 6 months ahead of even the insanely optimistic prediction of the mad and eccentric George Francis Train, the attention of most of the country and much of the world focused on the fateful finish of the project. The novelty of the instantaneous nationwide telegraph hookup that had been arranged by Western Union Company to allow untold multitudes to participate from a fair distance, any distance, in fact, that in particular captured the public's imagination. Nothing like it had ever been tried before. Now, initially it was scheduled for May 8th, but the ceremonies experienced a 2-day postponement with an official explanation that heavy rains had damaged key bridges so they couldn't do it. Well, that was kind of a little white lie. The real problem was this. One of the guys most responsible for organizing the Union Pacific was a medical doctor and a very shady operator known as Doc Durant. And he had been fooling around with some of the money and had delayed in paying some of his Irish-American workers. And they were so very angry that they actually went into Doc Durant's private rail car and they kidnapped him. And they said, "Okay, you want to go out to driving the Golden Spike? You only go out if you pay us the money you owe." The money got paid. And then the the line was ready to go for this great celebration and ceremony.
The Michael Medved Show.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
History repeats itself, and we're seeing that play out with inflation. When Jimmy Carter took office in the late 70s, gold sold for $140 an ounce. Can you imagine? By 1980, the price of gold topped out at $870 an ounce. Now, if today's market performs like it did when Carter was in office, the price of gold could skyrocket from $1,800 an ounce to $9,300 an ounce. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. Don't miss out on a great opportunity to purchase precious metals while the prices are still stable. If history repeats itself, we'll see a run on gold, silver, and platinum that will certainly drive up prices. Be smart. Buy now. At AmFed, you're dealing with specialists who provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. You'll never be pressured into buying outrageously priced so-called collectible coins or anything that you don't need. 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Are you watching your retirement savings melt away right in front of your eyes as the economy crumbles? Well, if you have an IRA, 401k, or similar account, I need to tell you about a better way that was revealed by a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. Simply put, you can opt out of the insanity and convert your existing retirement account into the most stable physical asset in history. Physical gold and silver. Plus, this conversion might qualify you for an IRS loophole that could save you even more. Today, Advantage Gold is giving away a completely free audiobook version of the national bestseller, Gold is a Better Way. Just text the word better to 48542 to get your copy. That's BETTER to 48542. By the time you drive home, this simple step may save the future value of your retirement. It's not too late if you're not prepared. You can take action now and claim a free copy. Text the word better to 48542. That's BETTER to 48542. Message and data rates may apply.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
An invitation for you and I
when the golden train comes down.
I'm gonna take tickets at the Golden Gate. Gonna dance with Peter, make the angels wait. And just be me, I think I'll be late.
When the Golden Train comes down.
When the Golden Train comes down, performed by the Sons of the Pioneers, is just one of literally dozens and dozens of railroad songs that actually have a heavenly, supernatural element to it. This is When the Golden Train Comes Down from the Sky. Even the well-known song Wabash Cannonball has a supernatural element to it, if you listen to the very last verses. And that has to do with the fact that back in the 19th century, and that's the subject of this special broadcast, a special broadcast called Connecting the Continent, the Golden Spike and its Miraculous Moment. Back in the 19th century, Americans looked at trains as something magical, life-changing, transforming. Remember, we spoke a little bit about Abraham Lincoln, who in his very, very first race for office, when he ran for the state legislature in Illinois and lost, he was 23 years old. Up till that time, he'd never seen a train. But he campaigned on behalf of government assistance to railroads because he'd heard all about them, and he understood that trains changed everything. And certainly connecting the continent with a train meant that all of a sudden you could go from East Coast to West Coast in about a week, 10 days at most, and that changed from what it would take to go overland with wagons, where it would take frequently 6 months. So this was a very, very, very big deal. And of course, it was a very, very big project to complete the Transcontinental Railroad. A lot of experts had thought it would be totally impossible. But then, based upon the organization that people had achieved, the military organization on both sides in the Civil War, they used some of the same officers, by the way, people like General Grenville Dodge of the Union Pacific, and others who put together this army-like organization to make the Golden Spike possible. There were lines that extended 690 miles west from Sacramento and 1,085 miles east to Omaha. That was the lines reached from Promontory Summit, where they were going to join. They had already been completed toward the end of April. Each one delivered a handsome and well-polished locomotive, both of the railroads, both the Central Pacific and the Union Pacific. And then those locomotives came forward close to the end of the line, waiting for the installation of the last two track lengths, which would actually take place as part of the ceremonial consummation, which was billed to the entire world as the wedding of the rails. So, to consummate this wedding of the rails, it didn't really take that much time or effort, because remember, they were able, when they were rushing, to lay a track length every 12 seconds, so you're talking about 24 seconds here. But they had to get everyone and everything in position. As part of this long-awaited union, a special railroad tie had been prepared. It was made of polished California laurel wood with a silver plaque. Four holes had been drilled into this railroad tie, wooden railroad tie, in advance. And those holes were going to accommodate the four ceremonial spikes. Two were made of gold, appropriate for the Golden State, and with all of the wealth that had been brought out of the gold rush. One of the spikes was of silver, and one of them was of iron, plated with gold on the head and silver on the shaft. The principal spike was of solid 17.6 carat gold, and it was, of course, inscribed with a prayer. The prayer said, "May God continue the unity of our country as the railroad unites the two great oceans of the world." The sentiments reflected in that particular spike in its inscription were the poetic vision of a Boston minister, the Reverend Dr. R.C. Waterston, who some 24 years earlier used effusive verse to sketch his nation's grand future. He wrote, "Here gliding cars like shooting meteors run, the mighty shuttle binding states in one." A number of writers looking at the phenomenon expressed the hope that the same way that North and South had recently been bound up in bonds of blood because of all the blood shed in the Civil War, so now East and West would be bound in bonds of iron. They didn't make railroad tracks yet of steel. They still made them of iron back in 1869. In fact, the other worldly wonders of rail travel lifted a lot of even pedestrian politicians into flights of poetic excess. A farmer and surveyor named Charles Cathcart, who represented Indiana for two terms in the House of Representatives, rose on the floor of the House to address the glories of the new technology. Long before they actually built the Continental Railroad, he spoke on February 6, 1846. And it gives you some idea of what this train meant and what trains in general meant to people of the time. He writes, "The iron horse with wings of the wind, his nostrils distended with flame, salamander-like vomiting fire and smoke, trembling with power, but submissive to the steel curb imposed upon him by the hand of man, flies from one end of the continent to the other." The congressman then triumphantly prophesied on the floor of the House, "In storm and darkness, in the heat of a torrid sun or the chilling blasts of a Siberian winter, this mystical symbol of man's intelligence speeds its onward way." The golden spike finally, at last, fulfilled these radiant dreams for this mystical symbol of man's intelligence. And the nation's most celebrated poet then erupted in exultation at an event of cosmic, not merely continental consequence. That poet was Walt Whitman. We'll get to his contribution and more in this special broadcast, Connecting the Continent, on the Michael Medved Show.
To order this special show, go to MedvedHistoryStore.com. The Michael Medved Show, all across America.
Let's face it, food shortages are a real threat now. Supply chain breakdowns, inflation, fuel prices, global conflicts, fertilizer cutbacks, farmers being encouraged not to plant. The stage is set for the peanut butter to hit the fan. But for some reason, Americans are still in denial about food shortages. Listen, we don't take risks with other things in our lives, so why take risks with your food security? Those who know what's coming are using today to prepare. Millions of Americans have purchased Ready Hour emergency food from My Patriot Supply, the brand people look for when they're ready for real preparedness. MyPatriotSupply.com is America's largest preparedness company. Get stocked up on emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage to get you through tough times ahead. Your other choice is to stand in government food lines, hoping for a handout. As we both know, that's not an option. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
One stop down, one to go for President Biden, who's spending his Labor Day on the road. The president talking in Milwaukee, Wisconsin to labor leaders, saying that his administration has lowered drug costs for many Americans.
Not this year. We beat Farmer this year. We beat Farmer this year, and it mattered. We're going to change people's lives. Finally beat pharma.
A Florida judge wants a list of potential special master candidates submitted to her by Friday. That person would be in charge with reviewing documents seized from former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. Meta, the parent company of Facebook, is being fined $400 million for breaking privacy data laws by the European Union. The stock market is closed today, observing Labor Day. You're listening to USA Radio News.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to GCNTaxCut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. GCNTaxCut.com, GCNTaxCut.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Great song, The Wabash Cannonball. It was first published some 13 years after the Golden Spike, but surely it was sung in some form before. And again, celebrates the idea of the magic of trains crisscrossing the country, running coast to coast. And by the time they had completed the Transcontinental Railroad, the overwhelming majority of total train track in the entire world was in the United States of America because we were train crazy. And that included our most esteemed poet. Walt Whitman, of course, had written beautifully and powerfully about Abraham Lincoln, "O Captain, My Captain," and about all of the struggle and the drama and the suffering of the Civil War. But in 1869, he turned his attention to this epic achievement, the building of the Transcontinental Railroad. He wrote a huge poem, and it goes on and on and on. I won't read all of it. But it's called Passage to India. And it portrayed the new world suddenly by its mighty railroad spanned, thereby tying the eastern to the western sea, the road between Europe and Asia. See, that's what this meant, is the idea that all of a sudden you would be able to take a ship all the way across the Atlantic Ocean, land in New York, then get on a train. A week later, you'd be in San Francisco, and then you could take another ship to Asia. The expectation was that because of this railroad, the United States, which was also rising to challenge England, Great Britain, for the control of the Atlantic Ocean, would also all of a sudden become a gigantic power in the Pacific Ocean as well. To him, the global significance of this moment began with a purely American achievement. He wrote, "I see over my own continent the Pacific Railroad surmounting every barrier. I see continual trains of cars winding along the Platte, carrying freight and passengers. I hear the locomotives rushing and roaring and the shrill steam whistle. I hear the echoes reverberate through the grandest scenery in the world." In Whitman's understanding, those echoes of the whistle carried an unmistakable message of providential purpose. He wrote, "Lo, soul, seest thou not God's purpose from the first? The earth to be spanned, connected by network, the people to become brothers and sisters, the races neighbors, to marry and be given in marriage, the oceans to be crossed, the distant brought near, the lands to be welded together. A worship new, I sing. You captains, voyagers, explorers, yours. You engineers, you architects, machinists, your. You not for trade or transportation only, but in God's name and for thy sake, O soul." 150 years later, it's difficult to share the 19th century certainty that the building of a great railroad by an oddly assorted collection of deeply flawed human beings represented an unmistakable demonstration of divine power and purpose. We now view technological progress as inevitable, incremental, and natural, not miraculous. But there are reasons, good reasons, to think that it may be that Walt Whitman and the others who celebrated this achievement as something of cosmic significance, some reasons to think they may have gotten it right. We will be right back for the conclusion of this special broadcast, Connecting the Continent, the Golden Spike and its Miraculous Moment.
Want more Medved? Go to michaelmedved.com or connect with him on Twitter at Medved Show.
Whatever the controversies, whatever the surprises in the world around us at the moment, it's important to get some perspective, and no better source of perspective than the history of this great country. At MedvedHistoryStore.com, check out some of the titles we have on offer about the Constitution, about the origins of our tax system, about the history of third parties, about the question of whether America really is a Christian or is it a secular nation. There's a trick answer to that trick question. Enrich your understanding and appreciation with CDs and MP3 downloads at MedvedHistoryStore.com. The song popularized by the great country singer Alison Krauss, called Steel Rails. Of course, they were laying iron rails at the time of the Transcontinental Railroad. And a number of factors came together in a remarkably purposeful way, it seemed, to enable the completion of that transcontinental line back in 1869. There was the peerless vision, the leadership of crazy Theodore Judah, the astonishing survival of General Grenville Dodge from three different war wounds, each of which would have been fatal. The unfailing advocacy of the martyred Lincoln, the timely secession of the southern states that allowed congressional approval. Above all, contemporary observers emphasize the importance of the recent Civil War in enabling the triumph at Promontory Summit. Historian Stephen Ambrose, who wrote an electrifying account of this greatest public works project in American history, it's called Nothing Like It in the World, in fact, he reflects that, quote, Dodge and nearly everyone else involved in building the road later commented that it could not have been done without the Civil War veterans and their experience. It was the war that taught them how to think big, how to organize grand projects, how to persevere. But even without these fateful factors, or the examples of good fortune and good judgment that characterized most of the process, a cross-con and link would have developed eventually. I mean, after all, Canada completed its own east-to-west line and then celebrated with typically Canadian understatement in November of 1885. 20 years after that, and 36 years after the American achievement, Tsarist Russia finished the Trans-Siberian Railroad connecting Moscow to Vladivostok over the perilous course of 9,289 miles. That was some three times the length of its Yankee counterpart. Yet the Americans came first. And the timing of our accomplishment meant everything to citizens of that era. The unspeakable slaughter of the Civil War had inspired the first serious widespread public doubts about God's special aid in the rise of the Republic. Most recent scientific estimates report that 4 years of sectional slaughter claimed at least 740,000 lives on both sides, all of them American, with another 500,000 grievously wounded. How could anyone argue after that that Providence uniquely nourished the American people when they had just experienced the bloodiest internal conflict in world history to that time? Inevitably, many citizens speculated that the unprecedented suffering signified a special curse, or at least a purposeful punishment rather than the special blessing that their forebears consistently acknowledged. Coming just 4 years after the conclusion of that presumed War of Atonement, and with Lincoln's own martyrdom still a vivid memory, the much-heralded completion of the Transcontinental Railroad seemed to signal forgiveness, rebirth, and America's return to its divinely ordained world-leading status. Like many of his contemporaries, Whitman saw the railroad as a realization of inscrutable purpose, some hidden prophetic intention. Summertime, and a lot of Americans get more active. And when you get more active, sometimes that causes some aches and pain. Neck, shoulder, hip, knee. I mean, I had a sore arm for a while, but fortunately I also have Relief Factor. And more to the point, my wife, who is always more active than I am, she uses Relief Factor as well. It is a great, wholly natural, very healthy, scientifically proven pain reliever. It is, you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. And right now, Relief Factor is still discounted at only $19.95 for what's called a quick start. So about a dollar a day to see if you can get out of pain in just a couple of weeks. And for the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can get out and stay out of pain. Check it out at michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner for Relief Factor. Some of America's most important principles, like freedom of conscience, speech, rule of law, sanctity and dignity of human life, the family, and economic freedom, are under contemporary assault. It's more important than ever to teach our nation's traditional values and timeless principles. Now, these sometimes forgotten values must be remembered and communicated, and the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College exists to accomplish just that. The Institute promotes these principles to the next generation of leaders on campus and across the country. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com and you'll find online courses on Ronald Reagan and James Madison. And above all, a vigorous defense of Western civilization and its highest values. Advocating for these timeless principles is why Grove City College continues to be a beacon in higher education. Go to faithandfreedom.com.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product, has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey trader, listen up. The markets have changed. Have you changed your trading strategies? Vantage Point can help you conquer volatility. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word money to 813-813 and discover how to predict stock market trends 1 to 3 days in advance with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. No matter which way the market moves, Vantage Point's patented AI can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to get what you need to stay ahead of markets and find your best entries and exits. Text the word money to 813-813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text money to 813-813.
This show or other history shows, go to MedvidHistoryStore.com.
As Ben Wright and Zachary Dresser conclude in a 2013 anthology, Apocalypse in the Millennium and the American Civil War Era, the railroad became an actor in God's divine drama, a supreme symbol of millennial destiny. In other words, the transcontinental connection could not only carry Americans from the East Coast to the West, but it could also transport them from the guilt and mourning and sacrifice of war to the manic growth of what historian Francis Russell called the confident years in his stirring 1969 account of the period between the Civil War and World War I. In 1871, a Japanese visitor to the nation's capital marveled at the sense of pride and providential purpose that had been provided in part by the recent completion of the Great Railway. It is claimed, indeed, by the best thinkers that the American government was never more powerful and influential for good than it is at the present time. Certainly, Theodore Dahon Judah had come early to that unshakable confidence in his relentless efforts to provide his stricken, divided country with redemption by railroad. Though his ongoing surveying in the Sierra caused him to miss the formal groundbreaking for the Central Pacific Railroad that he had created, he still struggled to supervise every detail of the early work toward the realization of his dream. Unfortunately, conflicts with his partners and investors increasingly intervened. To summarize, a complicated series of disagreements that came to divide the principals, Judah wanted to build the best railroad the world had ever seen, while the Big Four, his partners, sought to construct an adequate functional road as quickly and profitably as possible. More and more annoyed by Ted's challenge to their authority, the all-powerful investors offered to buy him out of the company in return for a payment of $100,000. In response, Crazy Judah proposed buying them out and resolved to take one more trip to the East Coast in a desperate effort to raise the money to do so. Accompanied, as usual, by his adoring wife, Anna, they sailed from San Francisco to the Isthmus of Panama, where they boarded the small, sputtering train to take them across the swamps and jungles to the Caribbean coast. By the time they arrived, a torrential tropical downpour made it difficult to walk even the short distance to the steamship that awaited them, especially since Ted insisted on helping all of the women and children who also needed to make their way from the train to the docks. He purchased a large umbrella and, despite his wife's pleas, made repeated trips in the drenching rain until all the passengers had been safely ensconced on shipboard. "Why I must do this, even as I would have someone do for you," he insisted to Anna. "It is only humanity." Once in his stateroom, Ted Judah began shivering and complained of a terrible headache. Anna put him to bed and called the ship's doctor, who suggested that her 36-year-old husband had contracted yellow fever. This meant that their quarters had to be quarantined, and she never left his side as they steamed toward New York. Though others viewed the childless state of their marriage as a tragedy, Anna saw it as a disguised blessing that allowed her to travel at Theodore's side on frantic trips like this one, as well as their adventurous expeditions for surveying and painting to the rugged mountains they loved. On board the SS St. Louis, she held his hand, bathed his face with cool water, and occasionally dipped her fingertips in brandy so she could apply a few drops to his parched, feverish lips. According to her recollections, he was delirious and talked of nothing but my road. They arrived at the New York Wharf on October 26, 1863, and the ship's doctor helped carry Theodore to a waiting carriage. The Judas traveled to their reserved rooms at the Metropolitan Hotel, where they summoned a Manhattan doctor who also happened to be a family friend. The physician examined the barely conscious patient, noting the dreadful pallor of his face and the foam that came to his mouth between gasps. "Anna, dear, it is yellow fever," he told the frightened wife as he put his arm on her shoulder. "Ted is dying of yellow fever." She naturally protested that he was much too young to die and that he must recover to finish his grand work, the Transcontinental Railroad. 4 days later, she knelt in prayer at his bedside and heard Theodore awake. "The road," he murmured. "Anna, we started the ball rolling. The road. The road." Where that road led, we will conclude. Coming up on this special broadcast, Connecting the Continent, on The Michael Medved Show.
Now it's time for Medved's Entertainment Minute.
Kevin Hart and Mark Wahlberg play old pals who want to reconnect for a birthday party, giving Hart some much-needed time off from his suburban family in Me Time, now streaming on Netflix.
We should go to Hart's party.
Happy birthday!
Thank you, brother.
This week isn't about me. It's about us.
Way to make the most of your me time, huh?
This is a gross, stupid, vomit-and-poop comedy that wastes the talents of its cast, including Regina Hall playing the long-suffering wife of Kevin Hart. An extended sequence about breaking into a home and ransacking it, complete with the murder of a giant tortoise, is supposed to demonstrate a rollicking good time, but will generate far more groans than laughs. Yes, of course, it's rated R for rancid more than raunchy. 1.5 stars for Me Time. Don't waste your time. You're listening to a special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show, Connecting the Continent, the Golden Spike, and its miraculous moment. The hero of the entire process of building the Transcontinental Railroad, the man who laid out the plans in his amazing 90-foot scroll, the man who built the Pacific Railway Museum in the Capitol building in order to persuade recalcitrant members of Congress, that man, Crazy Judah, died at age 36. On the 2nd of November, 1863, with his wife Anne at his side. She buried him in Greenfield, Massachusetts, in a quiet cemetery near her childhood home. As a widow, she tried to follow the progress of both the Central Pacific and the Union Pacific over the next 5.5 years, but amazingly, shockingly, no one thought to invite Anna Judah to Promontory Summit to honor her husband's enormous contribution to the epic triumph that inspired the nation. Anna had indicated to friends that she wouldn't have traveled to Utah Territory in any event. She wanted to be close to Theodore, to where his body was buried, on his one great day. That afternoon, she listened to the cheerful sound of pealing bells from local churches after they received the telegraphic news of the final golden spike, more than 2,000 miles away. She responded to the jubilation by putting on hat and shawl and walking alone to the cemetery, acutely conscious that this great day, May 10, 1869, would have been their 22nd wedding anniversary. After returning home on the spring evening, she wrote that it seemed the spirit of my brave husband descended on me, and together we were there. Theodore Judah's legacy no doubt suffered from the absence of children or grandchildren who might have fought in later years for the recognition he deserved, for initiating the awe-inspiring project that reignited the nation's faith in its role as an instrument of divine will. But his own ringing words in the introduction to his practical plan for building the Pacific Railroad remain as testimony to his gift of foresight. "It connects these two great oceans," he enthused. "It is an indissoluble bond of union between the populous states of the East and the undeveloped regions of the fruitful West. It is a highway which leads to peace and future prosperity, an iron bond for the perpetuation of the Union and independence we now enjoy." His crowning assumption might stand as an appropriate summary of his own engineering plans along with the even greater experiment of America itself. "It is the most magnificent project ever conceived," he wrote. And that project is what we remember in this special broadcast, connecting the continent about a great day for this greatest nation on God's green earth. This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. The collapse of the family stands at the heart of America's most pressing, painful problems: addiction and suicide, economic inequality, educational underperformance, and even homelessness. Recent statistics show that majorities of millennials who produce children do so outside of marriage. A University of Michigan study indicates that an amazing 20% of young adults report no contact, none, with their birth fathers. In response to the crisis, the left emphasizes redistribution of wealth or more generous welfare programs, ignoring the fact that even wealthy families suffer from breakdown or break up. On the right, we stress the need for religious revival to strengthen family life, despite the prevalence of divorce and out-of-wedlock birth, even among the fervently faithful. We need fresh efforts to change values and culture from leaders in government, media, business, religion, and education, mobilized under a two-word slogan: family first. I'm Michael.
Fred Dreyer here for a product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. Most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Do you suffer with joint discomfort? Getting out of bed in the morning feeling how stiff your body is and wondering how bad is it going to get as the years go by? Try Balance 7. It reduces the acid buildup in the body. In 3 days' time, you will feel a great improvement. Getting older doesn't have to mean it has to get worse. Use Balance 7. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, Balance7.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.